The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
PM Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Fourth place for the Knicks? Boy, I actually have a lot to say about this. Starting with, I watched a Knicks game from beginning to end. I can't believe it. I got through a Knicks game. And I had a good time. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
5 seconds. Barrett near the midcourt logo slowly dribbles it out. A monster second-half shooting for the Knicks. And guess what? Three straight wins, a 109-90 victory in Detroit. The New York Knickerbockers are 18-17 here this season. Incredible.
And they are now fourth in the Eastern Conference, all by themselves in the standings.
As you heard on 98.7 ESPN New York. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Barton Hahn said, what? The Knicks are in fourth place, and the guys were talking about the excitement, you know, outside the arena among Knicks fans. But here's the thing, and so help me, I had this thought watching the game last night. I know they're not at home, but can you imagine? It's really a shame. And I know I'm a Knicks hater, and I used to be a, you know, diehard Knicks fan, and then I died. I died hard, but I died. Now I've come back to haunt Jim Dolan and his normally pathetic team, but this team is not pathetic. Seems like Dolan's gotten out of his own way to a degree. All right. It occurred to me, it's a crying shame. Like, the pandemic is what it is. You know, like, the perfect is the enemy of the good. You can't hope it's going to be exactly as it was yet, although there have been, like, almost 100 million doses of the vaccine at this point given. And so, like, things are happening a little faster maybe than people realized. But still, it's not like you can have a packed MSG. You're not going to have a packed Madison Square Garden right now. But that's a shame because this team... These young guys who are putting this in this kind of effort deserve a rollicking, you know, rocking Madison Square Garden. Oh, there's nothing like it when that place is on fire. And I got to say, and we have Coach Fizdale joining me on the Goodyear Hotline in a few minutes, but I got to say about the Knicks. Remember what I was talking about last week? I was responding to something Michael Kay said. In the afternoon, Michael Kay was talking about how the Knicks are like a nice hamburger. This is not going to be a championship team. And he's right. These guys aren't going to win a championship. Not all of these guys. And maybe none of them. But the reason the Nets wound up with KD and Kyrie and James Harden is because the Nets play in New York City. New York City sells itself. The reason in the history of the Knicks, no top-notch free agent has ever signed there is because Dolan is a laughingstock and has had a toxic, poisonous culture in that building for so long. That was the reason. He is the reason. But understand, all the league is looking for is for a healthy New York franchise. The Nets appeared healthy. Guys signed up. They're a juggernaut now. I have to give the Knicks credit. The Knicks right now appear to have a healthy culture. And if you have a healthy culture in New York, there's no telling what can happen. It ain't going to be with this exact nucleus. But this nucleus can start something. It can lay a foundation where superstars want to come. And let me tell you something about this team. Julius Randle, everyone knows, all-star. He's putting up the big numbers. And the real change in his game, he still, you know, his right hand is what it is. But this real change in his game is he's shooting from distance. He can bury threes now. That's the real change in his game. He used to be a walking double-double with the Lakers, but he was not a stretch four. He got a three-point shot now. It's a problem. I mean, there he is going left. We're watching it on ESPN Plus right now. Left, left. There he goes right. And he no, sorry, that wasn't Randle. Randle was set up at three-point line. Anyway, the point is, so Randle's had that, you know, maturation in his game, that added element, quickly has been a revelation. When you hit on a draft pick like quickly, and by the way, are they going to give this kid more minutes? Give him more minutes. It's not like when you give him more minutes, he doesn't respond. He does. Quickly needs more playing time. But I'm not telling Thibodeau how to do his job, other than, you know, Stephen A. was making the point on First Take today. He's got to pull back on the minutes when it's unnecessary, when you're beating the brakes off the Detroit Pistons and Julius Randle just played 40-something minutes. You don't have to play him a bunch. I mean, this is the knock on Tibbs. He's intense, but sometimes burns his team out by the playoffs. But Eddie, look, I don't want to nitpick. He's doing a great job, Thibodeau. And that's the reason I think it's a shame the Garden isn't packed, because, you know, post-coronavirus, or when everyone we achieve herd immunity, which is going to happen sooner, I think, than later, New York deserves to be, you know, a team to root for like that. It's been so long since the Knicks team not only was winning, but was giving the kind of effort, particularly on the defensive end, that Knicks fans in New York expect and appreciate. So quickly, revelation. Randall is shooting from distance, no doubt about it. Derrick Rose, I want to mention something, and then I'm going to take your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-SAY-ESPN. See, a lot of times the mistake that a franchise makes is they have a bunch of young guys and they just want to keep it young. They don't want, you know, they don't want to spend money on veterans or anything, certainly not trade for guys. But that's a mistake. You want a few veterans on the team to guide the young players, to mold them, guys who've been through it. But it's important what kind of veterans. Too often, the veterans chosen are guys who really can't play anymore. They're not getting minutes. The young guys aren't going to respect them the same way. You can't really lead from the bench. It's difficult. And also, you need so like the guy has to be able to play, but he has to be able to play and still be willing to give real effort, but at the same time, mentor the guys that are there and not make it all about him. Derrick Rose is ideal in this sense. He's been willing to obviously work hard and mentor and not, you know, kind of monopolize the ball and make it about him. That and he's been through it all and is still good. Derrick Rose is still good. And I don't think I'd have to look it up, but it doesn't seem like he's shooting it very well from outside at the moment. But I could be wrong about that. It seems to me like whenever I watch Derrick Rose shoot from the outside, he ain't hitting it. But that's actually something I could be wrong. I'm going to look that up right now, because that's something that can change over time. And if, in fact, I'm right about that, I take it back. He's hitting. Oh, what? What? Never mind. He's only taking two a game. He's hitting 45% of them. He is stroking it. He's been excellent in the capacity in the job for which they brought him, which is mentor and contribute. And the young guys have really been playing very well. 45%. This is because I haven't sat through an entire Knicks game in forever. So I see Derrick Rose missing three, and he's only taken a couple of games. I'm like, he's got to start hitting that. Two a game. So he's hitting one out of two almost. 888-SAY-ESPN. I know Knicks fans want to talk about it. And the crazy thing is right now, KD out till the All-Star break. The Nets are the national story, but the Knicks are the local story. KD out till the All-Star break. Kyrie not playing, shoulder pain management or whatever it is. Look, when those guys get rolling, it is over. The Nets are crushing everybody in their path. But the Knicks are respectable, and they're a fun watch. They're a fun young team to watch. I give it up. You know how I feel about Dolan, but I got to give it up if I see it. I said a couple days ago that it was a must-win game against Sacramento. They're two games below 500 at the time, the Knicks. Sacramento's no good. The Knicks are at home. You got to win those kind of games. I was really looking at that to tell me something about this team. In a weird way, it was a gut check game. You know, a concentration game. Can you maintain focus and intensity? Are you serious about this thing? And they are. They were and they are. And they haven't lost since then. And now they're all alone, fourth place in the East. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Mel in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, good morning, man. Happy Monday. So,
thank you, brother.
This past week, man, the conversation was about how the Nets are doing good, but the Knicks is still the number one team in the state. So I was just thinking, man, to me, the Nets are more like the Yankees and the Knicks are more like the Mets, in the simple fact that the Nets have been getting their stars, you know, even when they was in Jersey, they had like J.K., Vince Carter. Then, you know, they had a big three. That was past their prime. Now they got this big three. And I'm like, man, maybe they start ringing in these championships, because I'm hoping they get more than one, two, three. Hopefully we add a big man, because I don't want KD having the responsibility of guarding Joel Embiid.
Yeah,
Dwight
I mean,
Howard,
look, fortunately, finding a big body to do some stuff in the paint on defense is not the hardest thing in the world. Like, even if DeAndre Jordan can't do all that, it ain't the hardest thing in the world to get. The Nets are going to crush I mean, like, the fact that they figured out the defense so quickly, they made it respectable from, like, oh, my God, it's the worst defense I've ever seen, to, oh, actually, it's not bad. And KD's not really back consistently yet, and not back till at this point till after the All-Star break. It's going to be a whole big kind of problem. And I get the point about the Nets and the Knicks. Every town with two teams has the heritage team and the franchise team. The heritage franchise and the clown franchise, rather. Yankees are the heritage franchise. Mets are the clown franchise. Giants, heritage. Jets, clown. Right? I mean, that's how it goes. But right now in New York, it's weird. The Nets, in a weird way, are like the heritage franchise. And the Knicks, you can't even say they're clowns right now. They're playing especially defense. They're playing it hard. David Fizdale, former NBA head coach, NBA analyst, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Coach Fiz.
Max, how you doing?
I'm doing great now that I'm talking to you. Now, I'm sure you heard some of that. Coach, these Knicks, they play it hard. They play it the right way. And I was mentioning, like, Quickley's been a revelation. Randall's who's hitting threes now to go with the rest of his game. And I think, importantly, they brought in Derrick Rose, who still has gas in the tank to actually be an effective player. But in addition to that, is like the kind of veteran you want in the mix with a young, inexperienced team, a guy who's willing to mentor and lead and can still play, because it's hard to do that if you're just riding the bench and the guys don't respect you the same way. I'm impressed with what I see with the Knicks right now.
I have been so impressed with Coach Tibbs and the staff and what they've done with, I really like the guys that they have. Obviously, the guys that were there when I was there, I love them. And I got a different type of connection with those guys. But to see them not only take a step up in maturity and growth, but the pieces that surround them right now, I really think fit them well. Like you said, Derrick Rose has a great history with Tibbs. This guy's a former MVP. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in that locker room and you can't respect a guy like that who's been through everything in the league, from the highest of the highs to the lowest of the lows, he's there with his old coach who have they have a great relationship. I think it all connects. And, you know, don't underestimate the presence of Taj Gibsons and guys like that that's been in there.
Yeah,
I think it's really going well. Like you said, they are defending their tails off. But I think more so than anything else, what you see is a team that's connected on both ends of the floor. They're trying to share the game the right way. You don't see anybody getting pissed off if another guy is getting off. You know, they really seem to be rooting for each other. And I think that's when you got a good thing going. So, you know, hats off to Coach. Hats off to Leon for putting the group together. But I'm just really happy for them. And I'm happy for the city as well and all the fan base.
You know, it's interesting because Bullock, I didn't have a whole bunch of points last night, but it's surprising because he made positive contributions. Nilakita didn't have any points last night, but he made positive contributions. All the guys who get minutes, Obi Toppin, you know, is not putting up numbers, but all the guys you saw on the floor last night are making contributions. And the fact that everyone's okay with it, even when the numbers aren't showing up, because Obi Toppin, top draft pick, you know, hey, why don't you take Halliburton and all that? But so it takes a lot, especially for young players in that position, to be connected on offense and not worry about who's getting credit and who's not putting up numbers. In your experience, how do you put that together, Coach?
I think every coach is pushing for that, obviously. But I think, you know, if you can just somehow to get your team past the human condition of trying to survive, the individual trying to survive, and you get them to understand that the only way that you know, we all prosper is together. You know, the buttons you try to push for that, you'll go to no ends as a coach. And so I've tried a lot of different things. Some of it's worked, some of it hasn't. I think sometimes, you know, like in my case, I always felt like, you know, because obviously we weren't winning, sometimes it's misconstrued as your team's not working together. And I don't think that's always the case either, because I think that could be a misconception. But I think to get it to turn into positive results is the ultimate difficulty. And I think what you're seeing now is that coming out of the Knicks. And you got to have guys that can step up on multiple nights too, like they have. Those guys are on any given night, have the talent to really go out there and get some things done. I've been so impressed with Quickly.
Yeah, Quickly's been really good. Coach, why doesn't he get more minutes?
Well, but I mean, they're deep. They're good, you know, and it's just, I mean, you try to balance that, you know, as a coach, and you're trying to juggle, you know, who should
Coach.
Good basketball team, and I think as they move forward, you got to think right now, they're about 30 games in, and they're going to get better and better as they move forward.
Mm. Coach, no part of you is sitting there going, come on, man, give me these dudes. Thibodeau getting all the credit. What about – give me these dudes.
No, Max. No. I love the dudes I had. It worked out how it was supposed to work out. You know,
nonsense.
Tibbs is the coach for this team right now.
Yeah, he is. He is.
That's what it's about. And
but any – but Coach, any team be lucky to have you as a head coach. Why – you know, I want to shift focus now to the opposite coast. Talking to David Fizdale, former NBA head coach and ESPN NBA analyst, of course. The Los Angeles Lakers, the big news today was that, you know, it's come to people's attention. They may be staring at $100 million luxury tax bill next year. And the Buss family, that this is not some multinational corporation that has the team as a vanity project. The Buss family, this is their primary business. This is their core business. And they have been, they see themselves as stewards of the Lakers, right? It's almost like a public trust in L.A. So they feel a responsibility to go after the championship constantly. But you'd got to think a $100 million luxury tax bill means that they have to be careful about the kind of players. Like if they want to get more athletic in the front court, you sign a guy to a 10-day contract instead of trading what you have for a more high-priced guy. If you're the Lakers right now, what do you do? Do they have enough to repeat if AD gets healthy?
Absolutely, they have enough. I mean, when AD is healthy, you're talking about the best big man in basketball. And I know we got Jokic, and I know we got all these guys, but I just think AD is the absolute toughest matchup. When you talk about inside-out combination, the ability defensively, a guy that makes other people better around him, I just think when he's healthy there, until somebody proves me other, you know, proves different, I think that they could still win it, and they're even still my favorite.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. The Nets, though, there are two things. One, I would say Embiid has not proven it over time, but he's been in shape this year, and so far, at this moment, I would say he's the best big in the game. He had a step-back mid-range jumper the other day against Cleveland. I was like, wait, that's Embiid? It looked like a guard doing it. Ridiculous. And so the 76ers, you have to look at in the East, but, and the Jazz in the West. But, Coach, the way the Nets have been doing it without all three of their guys. Coach, they just started to figure it out on defense, and they're smoking every team in the West as they're figuring it out. What's going to happen when they get this thing all together?
Well, I mean, Max, you know, these guys, when you start to see these teams get it, that's when it gets scary, and you're seeing them get it at a high level. And so I'm impressed watching them. They're clicking on both ends of the floor. They share the game. They really work hard for each other. And, again, another one of those teams that's totally selfless. So, you know, I think they're going to be – if they can just stay healthy, they are going to be interesting to watch in the playoffs and how they push these so-called favorites.
So we got the Knicks playing well, and New York is juiced about it. The Nets legitimately title contenders and so far kind of the best version of what it may have been. And I think in the back of people's mind, they're thinking, well, maybe the Lakers repeat, but oh, these Nets are going to be tough. And then in the West, we talked Lakers, of course, the defending champs, if AD gets back healthy. The Clippers, you know, they lose a game. No one's going to win every game, but the Clippers have looked very good. Right. And then the Utah Jazz. Coach, every now and then, like usually the formula in the NBA, you have a couple of super-duper stars, a couple of MVPs, you're going to compete and win championships. And everyone else is hoping to get, like, the perfect mix so that maybe once a decade they can win a chip. But the Spurs used to do that, and more than once a decade. And this Jazz team reminds a lot of people of the Spurs. Realistically, in a year, if AD comes back healthy, in a year of super teams like the Lakers and the Nets, can the Jazz win it all?
Not if they run into the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this because AD and LeBron are switch nightmares. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to switch in order to win it. I really believe that. And the Lakers just posed that matchup issue where you got to have multiple guys on the floor that can switch on to AD, that can switch on to a LeBron. So that means you have to have multiple guys on the floor that's 6'7" to 7 feet that mm-hmm. can move their feet, that can battle. And so I don't see that with them. As good as they are, man, I mean, I think it'll be a compelling matchup to watch them play. But I think when it comes down to it, the hardest problem they're going to have is those two monsters.
I think it's a great point about the size, too, because like Royce O'Neal, you can't really ask for better than that, but he's not 6'10". And when you talk right. about LeBron and AD, these dudes are 7 feet almost and 6'8". It's impossible, especially
LeBron's
in a playoff series. Coach, he's 250, 260, and he hunts mismatches better than maybe anyone ever. Like, what are you going to do?
Oh, my God. You would think he had two bloodhounds out there the way he hunts mismatches. And it's just, you know, when you think about that and you put that together with IQ, great spacing, role players who really understand who they are and what they're supposed to be doing, the fact that they've done it now together,
Coach.
You've injected a few guys who wants it. Man, I tell you, you're looking at something that could be, if they're healthy, they can repeat.
Coach, well, I can't believe you came on the Max Kellerman show today and admitted that you're rooting against Thibodeau. That took a lot. No, you didn't. You didn't. I said that. You said you're rooting for him. You lied to everybody and said you're rooting for him.
No, man,
how dare
I'm
you?
Telling you. How can you not be excited for the Knicks and happy for the Knicks?
How?
The Knicks have gone
how? If you used
stuff.
To coach I mean, the team and you got a raw deal, what do you mean how? That's how.
Nah, man, I got a chance, and I look at it as I had a chance to do something, and it didn't work out. But, you know, you don't look at – I don't look at things as good or bad anymore, man.
Yeah.
You know, I get fired, and you go through the downs of being fired, but here I am now in the age of coach. I get to spend all this time with my newborn. And
yeah.
You can't trade that time in for anything.
The great
so, I'll get my chance again, and I'll be a better coach for it. But right now, I'm rooting like hell for those guys. RJ Barrett, you know, Julius Randle, good grief, all-star. How can you not be happy?
Coach, you are such a nerd. You might actually believe that. You actually do root for the next guy. It's unbelievable. The great David Fizdale, who is not only an excellent coach, but a great analyst and a lot of fun to talk to. Always appreciate it when you come on the show, Coach. Thanks a million. Join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River deck at Pier 17. Knicks fans are pumped. We're going to take your calls. Plus, Russell Wilson really going to cook somewhere else? The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. When it comes to hiring, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidate for your team and fast. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. New York is excited about the Knicks, I'll tell you what. And Lakers fans, soon, I'm talking about as soon as Schroeder gets back, LeBron will have to play so much, and you're winning in a landslide, right? What'd I tell you? You need that second dude who can create for himself and others. And you know, by the way, J.J. Watt signing that deal, $22 million guaranteed. You know what that tells me? This reminds me when the Giants signed Justin Tuck. And I knew he was good, but I was like, oh, okay, I get it. He's really, really good. Like, he's better than Umanura and everything. Like, early on, you know, you're like, I don't know. You see them both. They both look good. That tells you what's what. $23 million. J.J. Watt, I did not know he was going to get $23 million guaranteed dollars because how often did I watch J.J. Watt this year? I mean, I saw him play a little, but the extent of my watching the Texans was when Deshaun Watson was in the red zone, right? Like, that's when I saw the Texans. Watt was once among the greatest players who ever lived. He, you know, Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, Bruce Smith, J.J. Watt. He's right there with those guys. Aaron Donald, right there with those guys. He's still apparently really good if he's getting 23 million. I knew he was still effective, but not 23 million guaranteed effective. All right, tune in tonight for college basketball action as Oklahoma State hosts number 7 Oklahoma. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Paul in Kentucky, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, how you doing?
Go ahead, Paul.
I just wanted to comment about the Knicks. I'm actually a big Kentucky fan, and it seems like a lot of their players are making their marks in the NBA.
No doubt. Right. It's like basically the Knicks in one way were smart. Like, hey, Kentucky always has great players. What if we just got a whole bunch of excellent players who went to Kentucky who for this reason or that never quite turned into stars in the NBA? You're right. They got the whole Wildcats team.
Yeah, I don't think there's any explanation. I just think that, you know, some of them are very fortunate. They've worked with each other and they've learned from others. You know, AD was there. You've got some great players there. They've been at Duke too, and I think that Quickly and RJ Barrett was in the same class, and I think that they knew each other before.
You're breaking up, Paul. You're breaking up a little bit, but I'll say this: You're saying Quickly and RJ Barrett in the same class. Also, guys like Julius Randle never really turned into a star elsewhere, and they gave him $10 million a year, and he's outperformed what you could have expected because he really can shoot from distance now. But Nerlens Noel, sometimes guys, talking about former Wildcats on the Knicks, sometimes guys have certain value. And teams will tend to focus on what they can't do, especially when they're high draft picks. Oh, he can't do this and he can't do that, rather than focusing on the positive contributions he can make. And after some years go by and you're not so fixed on, well, look at this draft capital we spent on him, you can just evaluate him as a player. And the Knicks are getting some real value out of Nerlens Noel. I was thinking, like, Paul from Kentucky wants to talk about the Knicks? Oh, yeah, of course, Kentucky. The whole team is Kentucky. Steven in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yo, what's up, Max?
Go ahead, Steven.
Can you hear me? Hey, man. Nah, I just wanted to let you know that we had met before back in the – it's been a while, but you was in Newark Airport, and I was working for TSA, and I helped you find your gate. And, you know, we just walked and we talked about certain things. And, you know, I just want to let you know, man, you're a cool guy, real nice guy.
That's right.
What you come across on TV is how you are in person, as far as that I know.
Well, listen, first of all, thank you for helping me find my gate. Anytime someone goes out of their way and gives me that escort at an airport, which at Newark, you said?
Yeah, it was Newark. It was like 10 years ago. It was a long time ago.
I appreciate it, brother. Let me tell you something. Hey, let me tell you something, Steven, in New Jersey. Here's the good thing. People who complain about celebrity are out of their minds. I mean, I guess celebrities who can't walk down the street without getting mobbed, I don't know about that really. I guess in Vegas at a fight or something, it can be hard to just walk around. But basically, celebrity, when people at the airport, when Steven at the airport recognizes you and takes you to your gate when you can't
slow down,
it's so good.
Stop. No. Stop lying to the dogs and poodles. Talk about the help you need from our technical leader B and I just to get on a Zoom call. You also need help at the damn airport to
hold
find
on.
Your
First
gate,
of all,
man.
Raj,
come on,
Raj
man.
Keeps sending the wrong code to the Zoom call. Do you understand? I won't even get
Brendan,
into what I had to do.
True?
I had to go through old emails to find earlier codes. Like, what am I, Broderick in War Games or something?
What am I doing over here? I just emailed Corey Walters to help you tomorrow just to try and help you set up a calendar so you could see the damn thing. Like, everyone else in the company can do it. You can't, but you also need help finding your gate at the airport.
Yes, I'm an enfeebled celebrity now, Raj. Don't you know, as you get rich and famous, you can't do anything for yourself anymore? you need, like, help blinking. You have feeding tubes and stuff. You can't be bothered to chew your food. Daryl in Queens, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up, Max, my dude? How you doing?
Good, Daryl. What do you got?
I'm a big-time Jets fan, you know, clown franchise.
Sorry to hear that.
My question is, I think that the Jets should trade for Deshaun Watson, give their 4 picks up, and trade Sam Darnold to the Steelers and get a second-round pick.
Okay, I disagree for this reason. For this reason. I don't think DeSean would want to play for the Jets, even though he's on his list. I don't think he'd want to play for them because to get DeSean Watson, you have to give up anything of value you have if you're the Jets, right? So I would say this. I think the Jets are best served trading back from the 2 pick if they're not convinced Zach Wilson is better than, say, Justin Fields, getting even more draft capital, drafting their quarterback, trading Darnold for even more draft capital, and putting together a real talented, high draft pick team this year and next. To me, that's kind of, it's not foolproof because you can miss on a lot of picks, but if the Jets really like a quarterback in this draft, that's what I do. I trade, especially if it's Justin Fields and he's going to go fourth or lower. You trade back, you accumulate even more draft capital, you trade Darnold, you accumulate even more, grab your quarterback, and surround him with first-round talent in the next 2 drafts. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Now, by the way, if DeSean Watson will come to the Jets, great. I'm just saying. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. Maybe if Miami is not willing to give the kind of package that the Texans need or want, maybe the Jets can then swoop in, but I just feel like if Miami wants them, they're in the best position to get them. Can the Knicks, I can't believe I'm saying this. My tongue doesn't believe it. My brain is telling my mouth, say it. And are you sure you want to say that? Can the Knicks win a playoff series this year? Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? Well, it was an excellent show. It was really something. We laughed. We cried. David Fizdale was on. He denied rooting against Tom Thibodeau. I'm not surprised. I don't believe him. What else can I tell you? Oh, the fun we had. And you can find both hours of this show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
When the team takes the court night in and night out, they are completely prepared for everything that the opponent's going to throw.
Bounce for Quickley, right wing for three. It is good. Quickley saving the day on that trip.
Celebrate, New York. You guys are actually right now currently constructed. Who would have thought the Knicks would maybe be in the playoffs?
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. You heard it on 98.7 ESPN New York. Knicks now a game over 500 in fourth place by themselves in the conference. Do they need to make a move? Do the Knicks need to make a move to acquire like a closer or a superstar, like a franchise cornerstone type player? Or should they keep the roster as is? Can they win a playoff series this year? Like, if Bradley Beal is available, what would it take for the Knicks to get him? And do you even need to push your chips to the middle of the table yet? They've just started this healthy culture in New York. On the other hand, there's a tide in the affairs of men, which taken in the flood. Wait, taken what? I forgot the quote. But anyway, it's Cassius to Brutus, or Brutus to Cassius. Anyway, it's Julius Caesar. There's a tide in the affairs of men. That means that you go in now, because sometimes it feels like, well, you have more time. But actually. You got to take it, like you got to ride that wave now, because once it passes, it won't be there. So is the time now to acquire a foundational piece like a Bradley Beal, thereby making the Knicks more attractive to, superstar free agents? Michael in Georgia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Max?
Good,
I was calling in because I see everybody excited about KD when he comes back and all these expectations and all this talk about AD being unhealthy. But what if this injury with KD is bigger than everyone thinks it is? And what if he can't even make it out of the playoffs? Can't make it throughout the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, look, health is a concern for the Nets. but it is the only concern at this point. You know, I could say secondarily, DeAndre Jordan being able to really provide defensive energy consistently, but you can find a guy like that to supplement DeAndre Jordan at the trade deadline in the NBA. Those guys aren't that hard to find. And so, I like, it's just health. It's just ridiculous how good they're going to be offensively. And James Harden said it right a couple weeks ago. We just have to be decent defensively. They've been a little more than that recently. You know, and Harden's not making excuses even without KD or Kyrie. He's like, no, we lost. Not making excuses. But the fact is, when a top-heavy team is missing two of their best three players, of course they're not going to be as good. Don't forget, they rampaged through the Western Conference. Beat everybody in the West without KD. It's a problem. It is going to be scary. Lars in North Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Max?
Good, Lars. What's up?
I really like the show. Really like
it.
So what do you think the Knicks ceiling is this season?
I think the question is right. Can they win a playoff series? It is possible that the Knicks, because they've played outstanding defense, can maybe win a playoff series if everything goes right. I mean, there's like a guy like Quickley has to develop a little more, and mainly he needs more playing time. And things have to, you know, you have to get the best version of the development of R.J. Barrett, of the best version of Nerlens Noel. Julius Randle has to keep shooting it from a distance like this. But it's not out of the question. I wouldn't say it's out of the question, particularly if they're in the top four, if they're on that side of the bracket and they're not facing any of the juggernauts in the East, then they could do it. You know, now look, if it's the playoffs and Miami's got their guys, Knicks ain't going to beat Miami. And they're not going to beat the Bucks, and they're not going to beat the Sixers, and they're not going to beat the Nets. But are there teams in the East? Probably they don't beat the Celtics. But are there teams in the East who could wind up in the playoffs that the Knicks could beat in a seven-game series? It's possible. Believe me, I'm as surprised as you. Have LeBron and the Lakers finally turned things around? Sup, L.A.? Going to hear from you next. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.